Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Let us stand. Let's thank God for our young people, our youth choir, our youth ushers, our young people all around. Amen. I'm going to talk this morning about something that we all need to be very interested in this time in which we live. And prophetically, I don't see things getting better. I see things getting worse. And so it is my responsibility as your pastor to make sure that we, the people of God, are equipped with what we need to stand. Amen. We're God's children. Come on, pat yourself. Say, I'm God's child. I'm God's child. Amen. I'm God's child. Amen. Amen. And let me tell you, that's going to go farther than your education. That's going to go farther than your job. That's going to go farther than your connections here. You're God's child. Amen. And because of that, we will be able to stand. Go on and sit down now. I'm going to talk about prayer. A few things I want to try to get across to you. I'm going to treat this almost like a lesson, a class lesson. By the end of this lesson, I hope that you will understand prayer as more than just asking for stuff. Yeah. Amen. I want you to be able to recognize the biblical principles that make prayer effective. I hope that you will learn how to align your prayers with God's will and his purpose. I'm doing it like this because I know some of y'all doze off. Amen. But I want you to know what we're going to talk about. I want you to be encouraged to develop a consistent, persistent prayer life. Fifthly, I want you to discover the transformative power of prayer, both in your personal life and as it relates to the circumstances that you have to deal with. And then five, the last thing, I want to leave with you practical tools. And I'm going to be doing this again on Wednesday night as it relates to our Bible study lesson on faith. I'm going to give you some practical tools for deepening today your prayer experience, on Wednesday your faith experience, all right? Amen. God bless you. Thank you, ushers. Prayer is one of the most talked about and yet it is the least understood aspects of the Christian life. Many believers struggle with prayer. When was the last time you prayed? Amen. Feeling like their prayers bounce off the ceiling or that God doesn't hear them. A lot of times we pray and it feels like we're just praying in vain. And God bless you, Brother DeBose. We're praying for Sister DeBose. I failed to mention her name in the prayer list, but we're praying for her also. Sometimes we treat prayer like God is a vending machine. Amen. Amen. Y'all know insert request, expect immediate results. But scripture reveals prayer as something far more profound and powerful. The Bible shows us that prayer is the means by which finite humans commune with the infinite God. It's how we align our hearts with his. It's how we participate in his work on this earth. And it is how we experience his presence and power in our daily lives. The word prayer appears over 300 times in the Bible, showing us its central importance in this life on earth. Amen. And this life of faith, from Genesis to Revelations, we see men and women of God who understood that prayer was not an optional add-on. Amen. It's not an optional add-on. We've got to pray just like the folk in the Bible prayed. Amen. We've got to pray in a whale's belly like Jonah, on a bed like Hezekiah, in a dungeon like Jeremiah, on a rooftop like Peter, in the garden like Jesus, or in a lion's den like Daniel. Well, today I want to explore what Scripture teaches about the true power of prayer. How many of you already know there's power in prayer? Amen. And for those of you who are not able to raise your hand, I hope by the end of this message that you will leave here today knowing that there is power in prayer and that you will conclude in your heart and in your mind that I need to know more about this praying thing. I'm telling y'all, there's some rough days ahead. I'm telling y'all, amen, you ain't seen nothing yet. And we ought not be caught off guard or by surprise. We ought to know, and some of us already know, that it's praying time. All right, but there's power in prayer. The first thing I want you to leave here today knowing is that prayer is purposeful. Let me hear everybody say purposeful. What do you mean, Pastor, when you say prayer is purposeful? I'm saying that when you're praying, is aligned with God's will. It is meant to achieve or accomplish a purpose. 1 John, go in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, this is the boldness which we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he listened to us. All right? There's a requirement there that if you want him to answer your prayer, you've got to pray what? According to his will. The first mark of powerful prayer is that it seeks God's purposes rather than merely our preferences. See, when you're a babe in Christ, you pray according to your preferences. Amen. Amen. Y'all, do y'all know that if God answered all of our little weak, feeble prayers, we would be in a worse condition than we are? Amen. I'm so glad that God doesn't answer prayer based upon what I prefer or what I want or what I desire. He answers prayers that align with his will. Oh, my. Oh, my. Too often we approach prayer like spiritual consumers, presenting God with our wish list and expecting him to fulfill our desires. But biblical prayer begins with the recognition that God's will is perfect. Oh, y'all, if you could get that. His will is perfect. Oh, it ain't always pleasing, but it's perfect. It's not always convenient, but it's perfect. It's not always the easy way, but his will is the perfect way. Do I have any witnesses here today? Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Our highest joy comes from aligning ourselves with his purposes. That's what Jesus modeled in his prayer. You Bible readers remember him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane over in Luke 22 and 42. Listen, this is Jesus. Listen to how he prays. Amen, amen. He's facing the cross, but his prayer is this: Father, if you're willing, let this cup, remove this cup from me. Remove this whole cross thing from me. But he goes on to say, but nevertheless, not my will, because your will is perfect. Not my will, but your will be done. Y'all, even the Son of God submitted his desires to the Father's will, showing us the path to purposeful prayer. This doesn't mean that we can't bring our needs and our concerns to God, because Peter, over in 1 Peter 5 and 7, he encourages us to do that. He says, cast all your worries on him because he cares for you. But y'all, purposeful prayer moves beyond our immediate wants to seek God's eternal purposes. We begin to pray for things like God's kingdom to advance. Oh, my, oh, my. We start praying for stuff like, Lord, I just want your name to be honored. We start praying for stuff and saying, God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there anybody here who knows that God's will is perfect? Let me give you some scripture reference to go with that. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, scripture says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, says Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts than your thoughts. Y'all, when we align our prayers with God's perfect will, we are assured that our prayers are heard and they will be answered. I just need two or three folk who have experienced that in your own life to stand up and say, it's true, it's true. Come on. Amen. I discovered it for myself. I'm a living witness. Thank y'all. Amen. The Apostle Paul demonstrated this in his prayer for the Ephesians. Now, he's praying for the church at Ephesus, and he says, for this cause, I bow my knees to the Father, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner person. That's what I do, and that's what I have the ministers to do every time we pray this prayer of prosperity over you. Amen. Amen. Paul prayed that the people of God would get spiritual strength and growth. That's my prayer for us. Amen. We're going to need it. We're going to need a lot of strength. We're going to need to grow up. Amen. Amen. Nothing happens by accident. The person in the White House is there not by accident, not by coincidence. I wish he wasn't there, but God, amen, saw fit for him to be there. And guess what? There's some folk who had quit coming to church who are going to come back to church when they see where the rubber meets the road. I wish I had a witness. I wish I had a witness. There's some folk who are going to start praying again. There's some folk who are going to start praising again. There's some folk who are going to start worshiping again, because we realize that if God don't help us, oh my, oh my. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. And so Paul prayed for the people of God a purposeful prayer. He said, God, give them strength. God, amen, help them to grow up. Because purposeful prayer also involves listening, not just talking. Do y'all know that real prayer is a conversation? It is a dialogue. What is a dialogue? A dialogue means that at least two people are talking. All right, and so many times we pray, we get down on our knees before we crawl in the bed. We tell God, you know, look over us, look over our family. Don't let this happen, don't let that happen. And we get in bed, and we don't give God time to talk back to us. Is there anybody in here who has ever had God talk back to you? You stayed there long enough that he was able to tell you some stuff that you need to do, some stuff that you need to straighten out. Amen. The Hebrew word palal, P-A-L-A-L, means to intercede. And that's what I do as your pastor. Amen. I ask God to intervene on your behalf. That's one of the purposes of a pastor, is to intervene, intercede on behalf of God's people, on behalf of the people that God has placed under my care. And whenever I pray for you, what I do is ask God to intervene. Because guess what? He knows all the details of what you're going through. My mind is I'm not smart enough, amen, to tell God what to do in your situation. But I do know this, if I tell him to intervene, if I tell him to step in the midst of what you're going through, I know that he knows how to work it out. Won't he work it out? Amen. Won't he give you joy in the place of sorrow? Won't he give you hope for your tomorrow? Won't he lift your burdens? Come on, I'm talking about the kind of burdens when friends have walked out on you, family has turned their back on you, and you feel like giving up and throwing in the towel. But when God steps in, anybody know joy will show up? When God steps in, come on, come on, he'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. So number one, prayer is purposeful. Don't you ever pray in vain. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying don't ever just pray so you can say, well, I prayed today. Don't waste God's time like that. When you go to God for something or about something, I want you to go with expectancy, believing that not only will he hear you, but he's able to fix whatever you're dealing with. Prayer is purposeful. Well, number two, prayer is powerful. James chapter 5, verse 16. 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 It says, the effective, earnest prayer of a righteous person accomplishes much. Prayer is powerful. Biblical prayer isn't mere positive thinking or wishful hoping. It's a spiritual force that accomplishes real results in the physical and in the spiritual. Scripture is filled with examples of prayer changing circumstances. I'm talking about healing the sick. I'm talking about delivering the oppressed. I'm talking about advancing God's kingdom on earth. There's a real good example of this in James, again, James chapter 5, the following verses, 17 and 18. Amen. Elijah serves as a prime example of prayer's power. James tells us that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And y'all, you Bible readers already know what happened. Y'all, it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the Bible says the sky gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. Through prayer, Elijah controlled the very weather patterns of Israel. Oh my, come on, there's power in prayer. The early church experienced prayer's power regularly when Peter got in trouble. When Peter was thrown in jail and was facing an execution, the Bible says church folk got together and prayed. Prayer was made earnestly by the assembly to God for him. And the Bible says that very night, an angel unlocked the door and Peter was freed from prison because the church got together and prayed. How many of you know there's power in prayer? Jesus taught us that there's power in prayer. Amen. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can talk to the mountain. Tell the mountain to move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you when you pray by faith, when you believe, when you understand that there is power in prayer. The power of prayer comes not from our faith itself. And let me pause here parenthetically and tell you that we all need to grow in faith. Amen. And faith is not one of the things you're supposed to pray for. All right? Faith, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. If you really want more faith, get in the word. Amen. And in Bible study, we're talking about the kind of faith that pleases God. And we said that you've got to have a worshiping faith like Brother Abel. You've got to have a walking faith like Brother Enoch. The Bible says that Enoch was walking with God, and the walk got so good that God just took Brother Enoch. Amen. He didn't die. He was translated. And then you've got to have a working faith like Brother Noah. Amen. And faith comes again by hearing. But if you want your prayers to be answered, you need to have faith. But understand, your faith didn't make a way. It is the power of God. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for power. Prayer also has power to transform the one who prays. Y'all know how we pray, Lord, deliver me from this. Lord, deliver me from that. But sometimes, amen, what prayer will do is not change the situation, but change you so you can handle the situation. Oh, my. Oh, my. I know now. And see, I can say this because I'm guilty of it, too. I know sometimes we pray bad prayers. Lord, let her fall and break a leg. Lord, let a wig come off while she's shouting. Amen. We pray bad stuff. Amen. But do y'all know that if God answered those kinds of prayers, we all would be in trouble? Because just like you're praying that kind of prayer on somebody, somebody's praying that kind of prayer on you. Oh, my. Oh, my. But thanks be to God that when we pray and we pray right, God will hear and answer our prayer. There is power in prayer. But then finally, prayer requires persistence. Persistence. The best example I can give you is, y'all remember that woman with the issue of blood in the Bible? The Bible says she had an issue of blood. Amen. And Jesus came and all his disciples were around them. And this woman said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Now, when you read that without reading the background, you assume that she only said that one time. But when you read it within the context in which it is given, you understand she didn't just say, if I can just touch. The Bible really says that she said it over and over and over, and if I can just touch. She was persistent about that thing. There were folk around Jesus preventing her from getting to him, but she kept on praying. She kept on saying it until she touched the hem of his garment, and we know what happened. Is there anybody here that knows that when you pray, sometimes you got to keep on praying? Is there anybody here who knows that when you're seeking God, you got to keep on seeking him? Is there anybody here who knows that when you ask, you got to keep on asking? Is there anybody here who knows that when you knock, you got to keep on knocking? And I wish I had two or three folk up in here who've been through hell and high water. You've been through the storm and the rain. It looked like you weren't going to ever come out of that thing, but you kept on praying. You kept on talking. You kept on believing. And you ought to be able to stand on this Sunday morning and say, I survived because I was persistent in my prayer. Won't he make a way? Won't he open doors? Won't he bring about a change in your giving praise in this place? The Greek word prosoush is the most common New Testament word for prayer. It means to pray to God or worship. It emphasizes prayer as worship and communion with God. Because in our Bible study lesson, as we're talking about the kind of faith that pleases God, the first one was a worshiping faith, which means that you've got to have the kind of faith. You know, the question comes, why did God like Abel's offering and rejected Cain's offering? Y'all, that's been just all in my spirit. Amen. What was it about Abel's offering that made it more pleasing to God than Cain's offering? And I told y'all it's because Abel had a worshiping faith. What is a worshiping faith? A worshiping faith, amen, you know you can just ask God for something. But when you worship him, oh my. And it's something you got to experience for yourself. I really don't just know how to tell folk to worship, amen. But when you worship and worship right, you know something happens on the inside of you. Words cannot explain it. You don't fully understand it. But something lets you know that God is getting the glory in that moment. And I come by to tell somebody today that if your prayer life is measured by your worship and your praise, one thing the Bible says is that he inhabits the praise of his people. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that whenever we praise God and praise him right, he shows up. He will show up in your prayer closet. He will show up in your classroom. He will show up in your job. He will show up in the church. Is there anybody here who has found out that if I worship him, he will show up? Give him praise in this place. Come on, Pleasant Hill. In a time like this, we need God to show up. Come on, worship him. Come on, in your own way. Let him know you love him. Come on, bless him in this place. Bless him in this place. God, I need you. Your people need you. God, we need you. There's going to be a celebration today for this young man, amen, who was assassinated. And I'm going to say, like any good Christian ought to, nobody ought to be killed, amen, for speaking what they believe in America. All right? We have freedom of speech. And what's crazy is that even as they celebrate this young man, amen, for saying the stuff that he believed, the stuff that he wanted to say, at the same time, they're trying to take away people's rights to say what they want. Y'all, if that ain't a work of the devil, I don't know what is. But I stand flat-footed today to say to you, y'all celebrate whoever you want. I'm going to celebrate Jesus. Come on. I'm going to honor Christ. For Christ I live. For Christ I'll die. Because he's the only one that went to an old rugged cross. Let him drive nails in his hands and nails in his feet. The Bible says they pierced him in his side and he died. Is there anybody here who knows he died? Are you glad that he died? Come on, come on. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. But I heard Muriel Smith say, that's not how the story ends. Because in 3 days, he got up with all power in his hands. Did he get up in your life this morning? Do you know him this morning? Do you love him this morning? Let somebody know he'll make a way. Let somebody know that he'll open doors. Let somebody know there's power.
In his name, there is joy. In his name, he will make a way. He'll open doors.